Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The United States Supreme Court protects donor confidentiality. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Holly, at the very end of the Supreme Court's term, at the very end of June, the Supreme Court came out with some major cases.
They went out with a bang, didn't they?
They really did, and they always save these for the last day or two, or the last couple of days of their term, and they did so this year as well. This is a 6-3 decision. It should have been a unanimous decision, but it was 6-3 with Breyer and also Kagan and Sotomayor dissenting in this case. But the 6-3 decision struck down the California donor disclosure requirements. That law was passed a few years ago. It was challenged by a couple of nonprofit charities that operate or they raise money in California. It was supported by a couple of 250 other organizations who submitted amicus briefs in support of striking down this law. This law was the California Donor Disclosure Law that required any organization in California that raises funds, even though you're not headquartered in California, to disclose publicly to the California Attorney General your largest donors.
Only in California, I gotta say.
Only in California. Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, leave it to California to come up with the most stupid laws.
I know.
And this is one of those. This particular law said that you have to give the California Attorney General the information of your largest donors. Now, why in the world is that important to the California Attorney General? Well, we know why. Mm-hmm. Because what we know is that California in the past has leaked information to the public. This is Schedule B forms that had to be submitted. They leaked them to the public so that these individuals could be targeted, frankly, doxxed and persecuted and harassed.
And you think about, donors don't want their information out there. And again, with the agenda that's going on in California with the government, they don't want their information and they're going to be bullied, I'm sure, in some way or another.
Well, and the two attorneys general that we're talking about at the time would have been Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. And then she went into the United States Senate. And then in her place was Xavier Becerra.
Yeah, so can you imagine some of these organizations that are pro-life and donors that give to pro-life? Well, Becerra and Kamala are not pro-life at all, as we've experienced with our case with Sandra Merritt.
Well, so we know, for example, in Proposition 8, that was the statewide voter initiative that passed in California, and it said that marriage is the union between one man and one woman. Mm-hmm. We know that the founder, I believe, of Mozilla, and he was really pushed out. I mean, this is a guy who founded a very large tech company. He was pushed out because he gave about $2,000, I believe, total contribution to support the Proposition 8 initiative. And so that donor information was leaked to the public. They wanted to get all the donors from Proposition 8. They put their names out there, and they targeted them. And he was forced to leave. He ended up inventing the security system called Brave, which blocks ads and all other kinds of things for your internet searches and so forth. But he was literally pushed out of a company that he was head of because he gave a contribution to support Proposition 8, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. So this is why we know from the past why they want these particular names, because, for example, during the 2020 election issues, remember that with the law firms in Pennsylvania, the Lincoln Project targeted the attorneys in that large law firm, and they publicized their names and their homes and other kinds of information so that they would be targeted, harassed, so much so that they ended up withdrawing because they had so much of a threat to their business, to their person, and to their families.
Right. And of course, we at Liberty Counsel take interest in this case because we are, of course, a nonprofit organization. So we don't want anything to happen to our donors. And even the high court, you know, gave a pretty good slap. It stated there is a dramatic mismatch, however, between the interest that the Attorney General seeks to promote and the disclosure regime that he has implemented in service of that end. Recall that 60,000 charities renew their registrations each year, and nearly all are required to file a Schedule B. Each Schedule B, in turn, contains information about a charity's top donors, a small handful of individuals in some cases, but hundreds in others. This information includes donors' names and the total contributions they've made to the charity, as well as their addresses. California is not free to enforce any disclosure regime, I love that word, regime, that furthers its interest. It must instead demonstrate its need for universal production in light of any less intrusive alternatives.
Yeah, and so the court struck it down and said, we have no trouble concluding here that the Attorney General's disclosure requirement is overbroad, and they go on to strike it down. The Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the 6-3 majority, said, the gravity of the privacy concerns in this context is further underscored by the filings of hundreds of organizations and amicus or missi curiae in support of the nonprofits. Far from representing uniquely sensitive causes, these organizations span the ideological spectrum. In other words, none of the organizations want their top donors to be put out to the public.
Right. And the government has no business interfering
they
with this
information. They don't have any business.
And the court sees that motive.
And you have to ask the question, why in the world is that necessary? Mm-hmm. Why is that necessary for a government, in this case the California Attorney General, to know who your top contributors to the nonprofit is, whether they're contributing to, you know, this organization or that organization? We know from history, we know from a fact how California has used these donor names before, because we've seen it in Proposition 8. And we've seen, for example, how they will target their names, give their addresses, and people get intimidated. What you would ultimately have, I believe, is a radical fringe going after conservative, pro-family, pro-life, pro-religious freedom, individual organizations, and targeting their donors to stop them from giving. We know that. And so why would they need it? There is no legitimate reason that they would need this.
Yeah, for the most part, donors want to be anonymous. They don't want their information out there. And they're not doing this to brag. They're doing it to support a particular organization. For example, Liberty Counsel, we have donors. We don't publicize their information. That's nobody's business.
No, it's not. And in fact, some donors want to give without getting that information because
right.
they don't want to get solicited.
And that's fine.
And
you know,
that's fine. That's,
they're not
that,
in
that's
it to get
there.
Glory and applause. They're in it to do what the Lord leads them to
Well, the federal district court below actually agreed in the same vein as the Supreme Court, finding that this was unconstitutional. Well, the state of California, they appealed that to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Right.
And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the law and reversed the lower court. And, of course, you know, when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upholds something and then the Supreme Court takes it, you can almost assure that the Supreme Court will reverse the Ninth Circuit.
Right.
Because the Ninth Circuit historically has been the most reversed Circuit Court of Appeals in the country by far. Now, President Trump brought some more balance to the Ninth Circuit, but it's still dominated by a couple of individuals who have been appointed by Democratic presidents. Now I think it's about two away from those who had been appointed by Republican presidents.
And we've experienced that with our cases, yeah.
Liberal or conservative, right. But it does mean that there is a clear trend there. And you have seen in the past the Ninth Circuit being very radical, very anti-rule of law, very ideologically driven.
Right, and we've experienced that with our cases, having to argue
yeah.
before the Ninth Circuit. It's like, okay, well, what judges are we getting this time? You know,
take every single church case that went to the Ninth mm-hmm. Circuit Court of Appeals lost either 3-0 or 2-1.
Even though the Supreme Court already set the road for those rulings.
Yeah, I mean, we already had I mean, it's so crazy. I mean, if you look at our case, the Ninth Circuit upheld in a 2-1 decision the total ban on worship, but struck down the limits on 200 to 300 people. Mm-hmm. 200 to 300 people restriction is unconstitutional, but you can totally ban everybody. I mean, that just makes no sense. Completely ignoring the United States Supreme Court. Fortunately, the Supreme Court came back again, ruled in our favor, and that law now, that order is gone. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.